So let's get moving here. So the Rama in Sifhei, we saw the Rama in Sifhei with relation to Safsal Misnadne, but the Rama goes on after he goes through Safsal Aruch Shemisnad Nedes, and the Rama tells us another halacha, but it's not clear that it's another halacha. He tells us, the Rama goes on to say, V'chein lo yelech imishto ba'agala achas o besvina achas. You shouldn't go together in a wagon or in a boat. Im eino holech rak derech tiyul. If you're only going, just stam as a trip. Kagon l'kinos u'pardes u'mechiyotzi b'zeh. You're stam enjoying a day together. Aval im holech mi'ir li'ir l'tzrachav. But if you're going for something you need to go for, then it's mutter. Aval b'yishuhu v'yishto heim levadan. Obalach yeshu b'derech shaligaz b'zeh. Even though it's just you and your wife, and you're sitting in a way that you're not touching each other. Shalom. You're sitting in a way that you're not touching each other. So that's going to be okay if you have somewhere to go. If you have somewhere to go, you should not sit in a way that you're touching each other. But if you have somewhere to go, you're allowed to take a trip if there's a reason that you need to be there. But just stam, to spend time together, you should not go on such a trip. So this is based on the Trumas Hadeshen that's quoted in the Beis Yosef that says that they can share a wagon even if a third party doesn't join them, because sharing a wagon is not romantic. Total stranger split cabs, it's an option on Uber, right? Share a ride or whatever. So total strangers do that, for those who don't mind sharing sharing a ride, those who are trying to save a couple of bucks, or who are just friendly people and like to meet new people or whatever. So that's not considered romantic per se. However, derech tiyul leginos lekramim v'chiyagavna lo berir nalahatir, says the Trumas Hadeshen. But stam derech tiyul, to go to ginos, to go to kramim, that is not a clear heter. Dr. Moshe Nosei points out that we're machmir when it's derech tiyul, even though they aren't touching. This has nothing to do with touching. This is just the trip itself is the problem. So the big shaila over here is this Rama a chumra or a kula? Or maybe put differently, is this Rama a continuation of the din of Safsal Shemisnad Nedes? Or is this a totally separate din, totally separate archaka? There's archaka that you're not allowed to be on a rocking bench, and there's a separate archaka that you're not allowed to go. Derech Tiyol, you're not allowed to go on a trip. So there are two ways to look at it. One is that we are further qualifying the Yisr of Safsal Shemisnad Nedes, or, no, we're not further qualifying that. We're finished with that harchaka. Now we're talking about something that probably in some way relates to Schok v'Kalos Rosh, and it's about traveling together. So this is a famous machlokas between the Chachmas Adam and the Aruch HaShulchan. Chachmas Adam understands that what we are being taught over here is a kula. Rabbi Sablovsky quotes this in the Sefer, all the Achronim quoted, that some Achronim, Chachmas Adam in particular, hold that riding in a buggy for just stam pleasure is aser, because that's like a safsal misnad nedes. So the Rama is actually telling us a kula, that even though you're on a safsal misnad nedes, like a boat or a horse and buggy or something like that, which you feel each other's shaking and each other's movements, it's mutter if you have somewhere to go. Then the safsal misnad nedes is only aser when there's nothing, when there's no purpose to your journey. But if there's a reason for your journey, then it's going to be mutter. So stam, it's a nice Sunday afternoon in the springtime, and you want to go to, I remember when my wife and I lived in Queens, sometimes on a Sunday afternoon, we go to Corona Park over there. It's called Corona? Okay. So we go to Corona Park over there, Flushing Meadows Park, and you take out a paddle boat, and you go paddling around or whatever for a little bit. So that, if Ishto Mida, is going to be Aser, because it's Safsal Misnad Nedes, and there's no purpose to it other than to just spend some time together. That's going to be Aser. But if you need to take your paddle boat across the river to go to a Chasna or something at, what's the place with on top with the... Terrace on the Park, right? So that's, I don't know if you can get there by paddle boat, but let's say you need to take the paddle boat to get to Terrace on the Park. So that's going to be mutter, even though it's a safsal misnad nedes. So that's the shita of the Chachmas Adam. This is actually a kula. However, the Aruch HaShulchan understands otherwise, that safsal misnad nedes is usher even for a business trip, even if you have a good reason that you need to go. And going, even without a shaking bench, just going together on a trip for no reason, just other than to spend time together, to enjoy a day together, is going to be usher, meaning two chumras. Moving benches are usher, even if it's a business trip, even if you have somewhere to go, somewhere to be. And second chumra, going on any leisure trip, any vacation, is going to be usher when one's wife is in nida. That's the shita of the Aruch HaShulchan. So typically in Chasam classes when we teach about vacations and why not to plan vacations for when your wife is Anita, so typically what we'll always say is that there are practical reasons not to plan vacations for when your wife is Anita, and there are halachic reasons. We stop short of saying aser, because it's machlokas, aruch hashulchan, and chachmas adam. It's not so pashut that it's aser, but there are halachic reasons to not want to do it, because since the aruch hashulchan is machmir, so it's kedai to be machmir. So lehalacha, the aruch hashulchan is machmir even on taking walks, meaning you just stop taking a walk just to enjoy each other's company. Now, that's not the only reason people take walks. Sometimes people take walks because that's their form of exercise. So they're going for another purpose in order to be able to get exercise. Sometimes they're taking a walk because they've been cooped up in the house for too long. They just need fresh air. And it's boring to go alone, so they want to go together with their spouse to take a walk. But they just both need the fresh air. I've noticed on the second day of Yontif, or when it's a three-day Yontif, and I walk around the neighborhood, everyone's out taking walks. Why? Because everyone has their parents and in-laws over, and they love their families, but they stop liking them by the third day of Yontif, and they just need to get out. Everyone just needs to get out. The parents need to get out, the kids need to get out, everyone needs to get out. So everyone is just, so that's an escape walk. So to take an escape walk, Luchar is also a walk for a purpose. But stop, just take a walk so you can spend time together, because it's a way that you enjoy spending time together. The Aruch HaShulchan is going to be machmir, and the Chachmas Adam is going to say, what are you talking about? It's not a sasal nesnad edes. There's nothing wrong with being together on a leisure trip. Rav Shechter once, many years ago, was asking Rav Shechter about a woman going to the mikveh after having a baby before she's clear to have tashmish, right? Before the six-week checkup, if she's able to become Tahora, by then, should she or should she not go to the mikveh? We've discussed this many times, right? Rav Ozner is machmir that she shouldn't, it's chashash zara levatala, etc. And our poskim are way more makel about that, and they think that that she absolutely should. But I remember in the context of discussing that, Rav Shechter said, maybe they want to take a walk together. Not everything is about tashmish. Maybe they want to take a walk together. And I'm thinking, take a walk together. They could take a walk together if she doesn't go to the mikvah also. They could take a walk together if she's in either also. Elamai, what the implication was, no, they can't. That they're not allowed to take a walk together when she's in Nida, meaning being machmir like the Aruch HaShulchan. And then Rabbi Yaakov Haber pointed out to me, he used to be a Rebbe here, he lives in Eretz Yisrael now, there are several Rabbi Yaakov Habers, one of the rabbis, Yaakov Haber, pointed out to me that this is Rav Shechter l'shitaso. Because Rav Shechter holds that when there's nothing wrong with taking a walk holding your wife's hand in public. So that's what he meant, taking a walk holding your wife's hand. Whereas that's going to be obviously also when she's in Nida. But when she's not in Nida, so then that's going to be, so maybe they want to take a walk together holding hands. So it could be that he was Lushitasa. We could maybe get clarity from him if someone wants to ask him in this message what he thinks. But again, the Aruch HaShulchan is machmir about taking a walk, because that's l'shitah, so that this is a separate iser from safsal hamisadadis. What about vacation? So again, it seems to be the same exact machlokas. But everyone seems to agree that if you have a reason to be somewhere, I always point out in chasen class, you have your cousin's chasna in Los Angeles, let's say, right? So what, you're going to write back on the response card, can't come, wife's going to be Anita. That's not a... You can still go to your cousin's chasen, I mean, you have a place to be, you're going there for a reason, you're not just taking a romantic trip. So that, everyone would agree, even the Aruch HaShulchan is machmir, says that if you have some place to be, then you're allowed to go there, then you're allowed to go on such a trip. So the question is, how broadly do we define that category? What is considered derech tiyul versus going with srachav, which is going to be mutter l'chaladeyim? So the Badei HaShulchan in Sivkat and Sadi Zayin says that, let's say the husband has a business trip, and the wife is tagging along for a vacation. I just had friends of ours last night came to our house, stopped by. What were they doing there? He had a business trip once he was coming anyway, so the wife said she might as well come to him, they live in Israel, so the wife came along to America as well. So that is it's a vacation for her, it's not a vacation for him. So Badei HaShulchan quotes a Shari Tawar that's machmir about that. But if she's coming, not because it's a vacation, she's coming because she doesn't like when her husband goes alone on business trips. She doesn't think it's healthy for a man to go alone on business trips. So then it's not a pleasure trip for her either. She's the showman. I have a guy in my shul told me that that years ago when he started his professional career, one of his rebbeim told him, you should never go on a business trip alone. You should always have someone with you. You should always have like a little shmira. Especially he does a lot of things in the gaming industry or whatever. So he does a lot of things in Vegas. And it is not healthy for you to go on a trip to Vegas alone. So he always brings somebody. If his wife is able to come, then his wife. And if his wife's not able to come, so he brings one of his brothers or something like that. His brothers are all living in Kol. If they ever want a nice vacation in Vegas, you know, they come along with him for the trip. So he said that's always been his rule. He happens to have an identical twin brother. So Maisa Shahaya Kachaya, he told us that he was in Vegas and he was supposed to meet with someone. It was going to be like a major deal for his business. I don't understand his business. I don't know what the deal is going to be about, but whatever. He's going to make a lot of money if he makes the right impression on this person. And he kept on calling the person to try to schedule a meeting, and the person wasn't returning his calls. And he didn't understand why not. He left messages and texted, nothing. And then he finally got through, and the person said, you think I'm going to meet with you? You were disgusting to me. You were so, you were so mean to me. Why would I meet with you? He's like, what are you talking about? And the person said, I was right next to you, waiting for the elevator, and I said hello, and you barely gave me the time of day. You just like nodded at me. You barely gave me the time of day. I'm going to now meet with you and throw business your way. He's like, oh my God. My identical twin is here. Like, yeah, right. Yeah, identical twin is here. Hang on one second. He calls up his twin brother. He's like, can you come down here for a second? And the identical twin comes in like it was an obvious mistake. But anyway, that was that was a policy. So let's say the wife comes along because he has a policy. He doesn't go on business trips alone. Not a bad policy. I mean, the guy told me that... The guy told me that particularly in Vegas, you know, you wait by the elevator in some of these places, and there are all sorts of characters hanging out there, and women, and whatever that, could lead to all sorts of terrible averos. I was shocked to hear, I'm not part of that world, and I mentioned it too once, and everyone else came up to me and was like, never experienced that, don't know what you're talking about, you know, you just go to your room and go to sleep, like it's not, but okay, but I guess everyone has different experiences with what their temptations are and who's there, so that would not be a vacation, right, even according to to the Shari Torah. Just one more point about this, about how we define what's called a vacation versus a trip. If you look in the back of Rabbi Sablovsky's Sefer, Rav Neuberger has Ha'aros on Rabbi Sablovsky's Sefer, and he has somewhat of a lengthy ha'ara on this point of vacations. And he writes, Ladina hare b'shut rav pa'alim, shehichner b'zeb sober, shekavarat sachum sedesh, and lesar tiulim, hare hu ba'atzmo sober, sherak tiul ba'alma b'harim asar. Avalavakar krovim ha'b'yam mutar. He said, you know, it's only when you're just stam going on a vacation. But if you're going to visit relatives, you're going for some purpose, that's mutar. We keep quoting as the Machmir says, look, Safsal Mstandev is Aser, and even just time to go together on a trip, Eino Nachon. So Rav Moshe writes in a tshuva in Yardei Chelek Beis in Pei Gimel, Ubedvar Lelechas Yachad. Levaker etzel chaverim olatiul eini ro bezeshia iser. I don't think that it should be usr, just bitiul, because there's no chash negia. As long as there's no chash negia, and he says you don't have to worry about going in a car together. And he says Rav Azner also says mistaver lahachmir, not to go just stam laharim levad without other people. So Rabbi Neuberger says, I think the way to parse this out and the way to like sort of come up with a good plan, because he points out that it's often very difficult to schedule vacations when a wife's not in need, because very often vacations need to be scheduled months in advance, meaning you can only use your points on these on these dates. There's so many blackout dates and this and that. So you got to schedule these things far in advance, and a lot of times. Kadosh Baruch Hu doesn't cooperate with you in terms of the particular hormones that he activates in your wife's body at particular times. So it's not up to you to determine. Sometimes you're a little bit in control, right, with pills and whatever, but sometimes you're not in control of when she's going to forget a pill, and then all of a sudden, she becomes in need at the worst possible time. So what Rabbi Neuberger suggests Meaning there are what they call active vacations and total relaxing vacations. Right? There are vacations where every day there's an itinerary and you're doing something else, and there's so Rambam said, if you're going to do a vacation when your wife is in Nida, just turn it into an active vacation. As long as it becomes an active, it's not just, what's the plan? Oh, we have a private beach and we're going to sit on the beach all day. You know, we're just going to relax. We're just going to chill the whole time. We're going to sleep late. We're going to whatever. Right? That's, go out to dinner every night, sleep late, whatever. That's not proper when she's in Nida. But if it's an active vacation, that this day we're going to see that site, and then we're going to the museum, and then we're going to this. So you always have things. V'yasu gedarim ba'atzum shlo yavo l'nisyonos, and obviously make your own gedarim. V'yizaru b'kol ha'archato shel shem tiknu. V'lo l'hachmir yosir mehem. So Nebuka says, I'm just a little nervous that couple shouldn't cancel all their plans, because that could have a detrimental effect on their shalom bayis. So keep the plans, but maybe adjust them. Maybe adjust them to make it a more active vacation. It's probably an Eitzah Tov. It's a Chiddush, because he's saying that that's enough to call it, a destination or a thing to do, as opposed to just go and spend time with each other. But I guess, the way I would always, the way we would normally say it is, a trip you would take with your friends, is not a romantic vacation. That would be mutter. A trip you would never take with your friends. You would never, right? You wouldn't say to your friend, "Let's just go get a hotel room in the Bahamas and relax." Like what? like that? Yeah, that's not likely to happen. But skiing, let's go skiing for a couple of days. So that you might do with a group of guys, right? So something like that would be a more active vacation, would be motive.
Just the
thought
that it's a continuation of Sasa. Do you have the kulas of that halacha for this? Like, let's say you want to do like a horse and buggy ride in New York City, and the driver is sitting in between you. But it's then you have a person masik between you, even though it's stop for pleasure.
Yeah.
If you were sasa, it's not going to be totally fine.
Yeah, meaning within the tzad of the chachma sadam, then that would be fine. Yeah, within the tzad of the aruch hashulchan, that would be problematic.
L'chor. So, like the maisa, like Rabbi said, situation like that.
So yeah, you try to be machmir if you can, but it's not the end of the world. I didn't quote anything. Rav Neuberger quotes Gam Hagrash Vazner Kasav Shemistaver Lahachmir Lola Leches Laharim Levad Bli Odanashim. Not to go stam in the mountains without other people. So I don't know what he says beyond that. I would imagine he's Machmir, but I don't know.
We said they could travel together if it's for a tachlis, if they're not touching, right?
Yeah.
So how would that play with public transportation of like the Rav Moshe Kula?
Yeah, better to touch other women than touch your own wife, right? In that kind of setting, which incidental non-taiva type of touching, right?
So if there was another option, you
quote,
be
could be
to
taken
it?
Out of context. What?
Meaning, so if would you be allowed to take a subway with your wife? She would end up touching.
Probably better not to. I think you shouldn't. Yeah.
Would going away for yontif be considered a tzor?
Yeah, Pashtus, like, why are you going away for Yantiv? Because you don't want to make Pesach, so yeah, someone's footing the bill for you to be able to go for Pesach. So that's going to family, that's not, I don't think that's a vacation. That's a trip, that's not a vacation. Okay, now, what about, so now, we're not going in the order of the Shulchan Aruch, we're going in some sort of logical order. Schok v'kalas Rosh. So Schok v'kalas Rosh comes up in Sif Aleph. So we're sort of going backwards a little bit over here, but let's talk a little bit about Schok Mekalas Rosh. So the Mishnah in Pirkei Avos, Perek Aleph Mishnah, Mishnah says, Al Tar B'Sicha Yemi'isha, B'Ishto Amru Kal V'Chomer B'Ishas Chaveiro. That Al Tar B'Sicha Yemi'isha applies even to your own wife, Kal V'Chomer, someone else's wife. Mikano Mechacham Kolz Macha D'Mar B'Sicha Me'isha, Gori Imra La'atzma B'Tum Nidivre Torah, V'Sofa Yorish Gehen. That is bad. If you're Tar B'Sicha Me'isha, you're going to cause ra'a, you're going to be mevatel Torah, you're going to go to Gehenim, terrible things. But that line, b'ishto amru, so like, well, what's the gather of that? That b'ishto amru, that you're not allowed to be mar b'sicha with your own wife? I told you that story of what Lapiansky said, when he was teaching in Eish HaTorah, there was a guy that had totally flipped out and became like a some sort of chassid, and he decided that he's not going to talk to his wife. because al tarvisichon neisha. So they're sitting at the dinner table, and he would grunt when he wanted the salt, you know, like something like that. So and he was having shalom bayis problems. He couldn't figure it out. Like, why is he having shalom bayis problems? So he did the natural thing. He brought his ksuba to a makubal, you know, to solve the shalom bayis problems. So the makubal said, "Oh, I see that the names are wrong, and that's why. Don't worry, I'll fix it, and everything's going to be all good. You just your wife's name isn't Shira anymore, or whatever, right? So then you know, and then everything's going to be good." So the guy came to Rav Lovyansky and he said, "Don't worry about it. Figured it all out. Everything went to the makubal." And Rav Lovyansky said, "Look, I don't know if whatever the makubal did is going to work or not, but for your sake, I hope it doesn't work, because this might be your last chance to actually be a mensch." And you know, and if it does work, then you're never going to actually be a mensch. I mean, that's not Rav Lovyansky said. My rebbeim were Rav Nachum Partsavich and Rav Chaim Shmulevitz. They had normal relationships with their wives. Who are you? You know, like so the al tarvisichon meisha is very hard to apply to a wife, but the Mishnah says it. It's a Mishnah. So what does that mean? Al tarvisichon meisha. So Rabbeinu Yonah on the Mishnah says, "Bishto nida amru." He adds one word, not bishto. "Bishto nida amru." Kal b'chomer beishos chaveru. Rotzalomer shelo yarbe dvar mishto nida. Shemi iskaber lo yitzarav yovel dipshia. The kal b'chomer beishos chaveru she yitzra tokvo la biyoser. And for sure, eishos chaveru, where there's a greater yitzar, because there's no pas besalo by eishos chaveru. There's no time where she's going to become muteris to you, as opposed to ishto nida, where you have pas besalo. And therefore, that's what the Mishnah means. Says the okay. So al tarvisichon meisha applies to ishto nida according to the Rabbeinu Yonah. So Shulchan Aruch writes in over here in Sif Aleph, lo yischok v'lo yakel rosh ima. And the Rama adds afilu bedvarim, meaning even just sicha, even just bedvarim. So the Shach is magdir. What does it mean afilu bedvarim? Im margilin la'erva lo yedaber behen ima. If it's the kind of conversation that would be margila erva, meaning one needs to be more cautious about the topics of conversation, about the manner of speech when she is in nida, because it can, you have to be very careful that it should not be margila erva. So any private conversation, meaning you're not allowed to have any private conversation, that every conversation has to just be like about like the Yankees and Mets, like it has to be something that's like totally benign and has nothing to do with you know, with anything private. So Rabbi Forst points out it's pashut that private conversations that are of more private nature are mutter, just not erva conversations. And he says, he brings a raya from a Gemara in Erev in Samach Gimel and Beis. The Gemara in Erev tells us, Amar of Brona Amar Rav, Kalayashin Bekila She Ishvi Ishto Shruyin Ba. Anyone who sleeps in the same room as a married couple, Alava Kasav Omer Neshei Ami Tigrishim Ribeis Ta'anu Geha. That you're like chasing away women from a place where they can feel comfortable. V'amar Rav Yosef afilu b'ishto nida, and Rav Yosef says, and the impropriety of sleeping in a room with a married couple is not only if she's not a nida, where you're obviously going to be getting in the way, but even if she's a nida, it's not proper to sleep in the same room where a married couple is sleeping. Rava Amar im ishto nida hi tavalav bracha. Rava says, what are you talking about? If she's a nida, you're doing them a favor, because without you, they probably have a yetzer hara. So now they have a shomer. Now they're not going to have any type to do anything. So it's better to have you in the room if she's a nida. Says Gemara, velohi da deidna man natre. That's not correct, because you're not with them 24/7, right? Who's been watching them since? Who's been watching them all the time? They don't have someone watching them. That's the Gemara, Suga B'Shashanim, Sanhedrin Lamazai, right? That all you need is a hedge of roses, and that's the great Milo of Klal Yisrael that a woman says, Dam Adam Kishoshana Reisi, and that's enough for the husband to be Porish from her. You don't need any Shmira. So it's improper to be in the same room that a couple is sleeping, even when she's in Nida. Rabbeinu Yohonasan on the Rif over there in that Gemara, and Erevin says, Vafilu Hinida Deleka Menias Tashmish, where there's no Menias Tashmish, because they can't have Tashmish anyway. Afilu Hachi Bosho Isho Lishkov Sham, the woman is going to be embarrassed to sleep there. Vidivret Snius Shebin Ishli Ishto Eno Yachalomar Osam Umitstarim Shnehen. Says the Rabbeinu Yohonasan on the Rif, because now they're not going to be able to speak divrei tznius between each other. like married couples do in the privacy of their own bedroom. So even when it's ishtonida, you are cramping their style and you're causing them tsar, you're making their lives difficult, because normally they would speak divrei tznius. So says Rabbi Forrest, you see very clearly that there's no problem with a husband in ishtonida to speak divrei tznius. One just has to be careful in the lashon of the shach that im margilin la'erva lo yidaber behen, that it shouldn't be the type of divrei tznius that's margil la'erva. So what does that mean exactly? What are divrei tznius that are margil la'erva? What are divrei tznius that are not margil la'erva? So sometimes there are divrei tznius, you know, you certainly shouldn't be talking about tashma shamita or intimacy or anything like that. But sometimes it's like a technical thing. Birth control, you know, things of that nature, like a very, very or a medical exam that that she had, you know, the results of that. You wouldn't talk about that publicly, but ish v'ishto in their own room might talk about those things. So it's divrei tznius, it's a matter of tznius, it's something very private to her, it's about, you know, some gynecological exam or procedure that she had that day, but that's not at all romantic, it's not at all something that's going to be mevi l'idei erva, so that l'chara would be mutter. Okay. Chut shani, from this one Krelitz writes, you can also give compliments, but you should make sure that those compliments are appropriate compliments. I always tell chassanim, if it's a phrase that you would say to your mother, then you could say it to ishtonida. Meaning, if your wife gets all dressed up and looks very nice to go to a wedding, you can say you look very nice, right? Meaning, because if your mom got all dressed up and was ready to go to a wedding or something, maybe sons don't do it so often, but you can tell your mom, "Mom, you look so nice today." And that wouldn't be like inappropriate. She might be like, "Who are you?" But like, it wouldn't be inappropriate if you say, "Mom, you look so nice today." But if you start commenting on mom's body parts and how the dress fits her and things like that, okay, then mom would be like a little creeped out, right? So meaning that would be something that would be an inappropriate way to speak. So that's, you shouldn't speak to your wife that way when she's in need either. In Be'er Moshe, Chelek Gimel, Simkuf Nun Hei, the Pesina was asked about giving compliments about her clothing looking nice on her. That dress looks great on you, something like that, without getting more specific than that. So he writes, to say that it's a nice dress and that it looks nice on her is not aser, but better to be mema'it in these things. The Bettiner also discusses, like, you know, you're not gonna touch ishtonida. What about blowing her a kiss? Or what about telling one of the children, "Give mommy a big hug and a kiss for me," right? Something like that. So is that good? What are you tying up? What do you think? No, Haskin. So that's for sure schok the kalas rosh. That would be included in the more suggestive, form of conversation. I think so also. That makes a lot of sense. That sometimes in a co-ed lahavdil, in a co-ed camp, you have like the one kid that decides, you know, the one couple that decides they're going to be shomer negia or whatever, so they're constantly blowing kisses and doing shomer negia high fives and whatever. The whole thing is it's a ruse. I mean, the whole thing is a way of saying, it's a way of expressing chiba. It's all, it's not appropriate. So the next issue, questions? So far, so good. Next issue is histaklus. So histaklus is a fascinating discussion. It starts with the Gemara in the Darim. The Gemara in the Darim Daf Chaf tells us, "Hamistakel ba'akeva shel isha." If you look at a woman's heel, then it doesn't bode well for your children if you're mistakel at a woman's heel. Meaning, not any woman, it means ishtonida, that you look at your wife's heel. So the Gemara says, what is the deal with the heel, right? What's wrong with looking at a woman's heel? So the Gemara says, no, it means makom ha-toref, we're just speaking b'lishon nikiya, but the heel is directly across from the makom ha-toref, so it really means also makom ha-venisha, not to look at, directly at also makom ha-venisha. So the Tur and the Rashba and Torah Sabayis, understand that all makomos ha-makhusim have a din of makom ha-toref. It's an extension of what the Gemara said. Right? The Gemara says makom ha-toref, you're not allowed to look at the ishtonida. So the Tur and the Rashba say, it means any part of her body that should normally be covered, you're not allowed to look at when she's in nida. So the Ravid in Balei HaNefesh, which interestingly the Beis Yosef doesn't even quote, says no, the Gemara didn't say that. The Gemara said Makom HaToref. So you're not allowed to look at Makom HaToref, and that's it. It doesn't include other Makom HaSamachusim. And he says, you know, it could be that there are two separate halachas. It could be that there's a halacha not to look at Makom HaSamachusim of Ishto Nida. And it could be that there's a nisra to look at Makom HaToref of anyone, of even Ishto Tahora. Whoa, meaning if you're going to say that the Gemara Dafka said Makom HaToref, and it doesn't, it's not just a euphemism to refer to all Makom HaSamachusim. It Dafka means Makom HaToref. And you're not allowed to look, but you're also going to hold that you're not allowed to look at Makom HaSamachusim, at any Makom HaSamachusim. So then what's the Gemara talking about with Makom HaToref? Elamai, Makom HaToref must be a level more chamur, that even Ishto Tahora you're not allowed to look at Makom HaToref. And that's what we assume in Shulchan Aruch, that there's an issur to be a mistakel at Makom HaSamachusim Shabbat when she's in Nida, and even when she's Tahora you're not allowed to look at Makom HaToref. What about parts of her body that are not normally covered? So the Beis Yosef quotes three indications that it's got to be mutter to look at parts of her body that are, meaning when it's not your wife, you're not even allowed to look. Afil betz b'ktanah shalisha, you're not allowed to look for. You're not allowed to be mistakel to get ana. But when it's your wife, are you allowed to look at her face? Let's say her face. We don't wear burkas, right? Women normally uncover their face. So you're allowed to look at your wife's face when she's in ida for the purpose of getting ana, to enjoy her beauty. So he writes, Beis Yosef gives three indications that it's mutter. First of all, the Gemara only says Makom HaToref, so the furthest you could expand that phrase, Makom HaToref, is Makom HaSamachusim. There's no way Makom HaToref means like parts of her body that are not normally covered. Second of all, the fact that it's mutter lo liskashit bimei dosa kadei shlo tizgan al baila, right, that's the favor. She's allowed to get dressed up and wear kishutim and so that she's not niskan al baila. That implies that the husband's looking. So what's he looking at? If he can't look at the covered parts and he can't look at the uncovered parts, what's he looking at? So it must be that he's looking at the uncovered parts of her body, the parts that are normally uncovered. And the third indication is the Rambam Nisir Biya Perchaval Velachadalid writes, Mutar Adam Lahabit Bishto Nida Va'afal Bishihi Erva. Ram says, you're allowed to look at Ishto Nida. At the very least, it means you're allowed to look at Makomos Agluyim of Ishto Nida, just maybe not Makomos HaMachusim. So, how does this play out in Shulchan Aruch? So, in Shulchan Aruch, in Siv Zayin, what does it say? Lo yistakal afil ba'keva, v'lo Makomos HaMachusim Shabbat. And the Rama adds, "Avol mutar l'stakel ba b'makomos agluyim, afal b'shenana b'riyasa." You're not allowed to look afilu ba'akeva nor in makomos hamachusim. And the Rama says, "But you are allowed to look at makomos hagluyim." Are there any exceptions to that rule? To that issur? So there may be a couple of exceptions. One exception we learned already. What was the exception we learned already? When you're allowed to look at makomos hamachusim mitvah, right? In the Devidus Tshuva. The woman needs to go to the mikveh and there's no mikveh lady available. So the husband has to be the mikveh lady. An uncomfortable position for the husband to be in, but sometimes, you know, you can imagine such a thing happening. Okay, another potential exception is not only when the husband has to be the mikveh lady, the Taz over here in Sif Katan Yud David, the Taz quotes that the Maharik would make his wife stand in front of him, Aruma, before she went to the mikveh, not because he was the mikveh lady, but he didn't trust the mikveh lady. He wanted to make sure that there were no scabs. He didn't trust her. So, and the Sar Mikutzi did the same. So the Yehuda used that as a raya. But there are two reasons why it may not be a raya. First of all, the Rambam, and the Ravid for sure, and the Rambam probably also, hold that the Isser to be mistakel at Ishto Nida is only Makom HaToref. So it could be that the Sar Mikutzi held like that sheet in Rishonin, that the Isser to be mistakel is only Makom HaToref, it's not other parts of her body. So he wasn't looking for scabs in the Makom HaToref, he's looking at the rest of her body. So that would be mutter according to that sheet in Rishonin. Furthermore, the in the Haggah from the Ben HaMechaber, from the son of the Nadav Yehuda, he points out that it could be also that they were going like Rabbeinu Tam, that a woman would go to the mikveh after the Nida D'oraisa was over. So she had already gone to the mikveh once, and she was already only tamei on a drabbanan level, not on a daraisa level. So maybe that's why they were makel in that case. Now, it's impossible to get the full picture of what you are and are not allowed to be mistakel at from only learning your Dea Kuf Tzadihei, because this is also an Evna Ezer discussion. So the Beis Yosef in Evna Ezer explains that the Rambam in Yisuri Bia only asks who's looking at Makom HaTurfa when she's a Nida, meaning like the Ra'avid, and all other Makomos HaMechusim HaMutter. Beis Yosef says that's what the Rambam means. When the Rambam says, the Rambam that we quoted before, right? When the Rambam says that Mutter Adam Lahabit Pi Ishto Nida Va'afal Pi Shi Erva, Val Pi Shi Shanaz Levi Ben Briya, he means every part of her body except for Makom HaTurfa. That you're allowed to look at Ishto Nida in every part of her body except for Makom HaTurfa. And in Evna Ezer, he just quotes the exact Lashon HaRambam. After explaining in the Beis Yosef what the Rambam means, that the Rambam means that it's only usher to look at Makom HaTurfa, and even then, only when she's in Nida, when she's not in Nida, it's mutter to look at Makom HaTurfa, he just quotes the exact Lashon of the Rambam. So that seems to be a stira, because over here in Shulchan Aruch it says, Lo Yisakel B'Makom HaSamchusim Shva. Any part of her body that's normally coming. So chaps two nafkaminas. Nafkamina number one is when she's in Nida, can you look at Makom HaSamchusim? Nafkamina number two is what? Can you look at Makom HaTurfa when she's Tahora? According to Evan Ezer, yes. And according to Yoredeya, no. So that's a huge nafkamina. That's why you may have, like sometimes when you're teaching Chassanim, so the Chassan Kala teacher sometimes teach different things. So sometimes it's Stam Amaratzus. Someone just doesn't know what they're talking about. But sometimes that it's not Amaratzus. They're just teaching different things because they have different, you know, because they have different Mesoras, different Peskelach. So that's a common one, right? Where the one of them will say, he's not allowed to be Mestakel, be Makom HaTurfa, ever. And the other will say, nah, yeah, better not to, if you, you know, you, whatever, you know, they hedge a lot more on that. Right? So it's an Ebenezer Yerodeya thing. How do you reconcile this stira? So Rav Avadia holds that the halacha is what it says in Ebenezer, and in Yerodeya we suggest that it's kedai to be machmir. It's an extra chumar in Yerodeya. Okay, so then you understand why some might say, okay, you know, we try to be machmir, but if it's going to somehow affect shalom bayis, and it's going to affect, you know, normal sexual functioning or whatever, okay, so then maybe there's room to be makel. Other achronim assume that it's also the stack of the makom hasamachusim, and therefore, again, what follows, makom haturfa is always aser, and it's not a contradiction to what the Mechaber says in Ebn Ezer, because while in Beis Yosef in Ebn Ezer Simchaval, if he explains the Rambam a certain way, the Mechaber just quotes the Lashon of the Rambam. The Lashon of the Rambam is not against what it says here in Yerodeya. Because the Rambam is not specific in his lashup. He's not specific that he's only talking about Makom HaTurfa that you're not allowed to look at, and that you are allowed to look at all Makomos HaMuchusim. He doesn't say that. The lashon was just simply Mutar Adam Lahabit Pishto Nida, even though she's an Erva. That means Makomos HaGluyim. The Shulchan Aruch Nevin Ezer, you know, just uses that exact lashon of the Rambam. So that's those are the two ways of reconciling. Chaval, Sim Chaval, Sifdal. So maybe put that on the list of questions to ask Rabbi Willig or Rabbi Sablowski. How do we reconcile the Rambam in Evan Ezer with the Rambam in Yerodeya, vis-a-vis looking at Makomos HaMechusim, and vis-a-vis Makom HaTurfa Kishi Tahora? Right? You got that one? Okay, yeah? We'll see what Rabbi Willig says. Okay. You know, Javaheri sent a letter to Rav Yitzchak, one of Rav Avadia's sons. I don't know if it was Rav Yitzchak or someone. He says, "How come in Rav David Yosef's halacha brura, whatever, you know, whatever his sefer is called, he leaves out Hilchos Tzniut, doesn't discuss it, and none of it, you know, Yitzchak Yosef, no one discusses like you know the details of these things." And Rav Avadia's son wrote back, "Kishmo keinu Hilchos Tzniut, it should be davar shel Tzniut." So this is done in private settings where people talk through these issues. It shouldn't be done publicly. Recently, you have more books that are published that are much more explicit about these things. But okay, we'll see if Rabbi Willig is willing to answer, then we can talk more. Okay. What does mistakel mean? What does it mean not to be mistakel? So, in the context of talking about Kriya Shema Keneged Erva, in the context of talking about Kriya Shema Keneged Erva, the Mishnah Berurah in Siman Ayin Hey, Siv Zayin writes, "Av li'inyan isra stakelus l'kulayam mistakel bi'isha afilu be'etzba ketano, kibush mistakel ba lehanos over belavdol surach reinechem." And even Yesh Biyadu Torah, Meisim Tovim Lo Yinakam Medina Shal Gehenna. But, says Mishnah Berurah, Uri'iya Ba'alma Lefi Tumo, Below Nene, Shari. To see a woman is not to be mistakel at a woman. So you see a woman's face, you see a woman's etzba ketana shalish, or something like that, that's mutter. Im lo mitzad musr, you know, whatever, you could take extra chumas if you want. B'sefer M'lucha Shmuel, L'chiyach Tadam Chashav, Yesh L'Izar B'chol Gavni, parts of the body that should normally be covered, afri iya ba alma asr. You're not even supposed to have a ri'iya bi alma. But he makes very clear that istaklus is not the same as ri'iya. That istaklus is asr, and that means to look with the intent of getting hana'a. But the Ashulchan, though, is not sure about that. In the Biurim, Dibra Maschulo, he thinks that in our context, it might mean just seeing. And he brings a raya that it should mean only looking intently from the lashon of a meiri, because the meiri writes Maseches Nedarim Amar Kolam Stakel Ba'akevish Alish Avin Labanim Shenim Uganim UPirshua BeIshtonida VeInyana BaHabata BeMachsheves Hirur. So the meiri clearly assumes Mistakel is not the same as seeing, and he explains the svar to be more makel by Ishtonida than by other women based on Pas Pesalo. So you're allowed to be roe other women, and you're allowed to be mistakel bishtonida and mekomos agluyim. Right, all of it are mekomos agluyim. Mekomos amchusim, you're not even allowed to be roe when it comes to other women, and ishtonida also. You shouldn't be mistakel and mekomos hamchusim, but mekomos agluyim are even allowed to be mistakel. That, you know, issue of mistakelus versus roe comes up in other contexts, as well. In Hilchos Birchos Kohanim, Magen Avram and Siman Kuf Chav Ches, they not allowed to be mistakel at the hands of the Kohanim. Can you see the hands of the Kohanim? Nowadays, if you could even be mistakel, because their hands are covered with a talus, so you're not going to see anything anyway. But every once in a while, you have a Kohen who sticks it, so you look up, because Rav Shachter holds you're supposed to look at someone who's giving you a bracha, so as long as their hands are covered, it's okay, you're allowed to look right at the Kohanim. And every once in a while, you have a Kohen who has some sort of tradition that he's supposed to stick his hands out of the talus. So now I'm going to go blind, because I was mistakel at the hands of the Kohanim. So you just look back down, right? So Magen Avraham writes that Lashon Listakel, Zmash Metafkel, Listakel Harbe Asur, Bari Be'alma, Zlo Mitzvah. And he says the same is true, the issue to be mistakel at a keshes. Right? The issue to be mistakel at a rainbow. There's a bracha you're supposed to say in a rainbow. So what does it mean? You can't be mistakel at a rainbow, but you're supposed to say a bracha when you see a rainbow. If you can't see a rainbow, how do you say a bracha when you see a rainbow? You're not allowed to see a rainbow. Elamai, you're allowed to see a rainbow. You're not allowed to be mistakel at a rainbow. So you see such a such a chilik. The Gemara in Avodah Zarah says, Maisa b'Rav Shimon Gamliel, Avodah Zarah Dav Chav, Shayal Gabi Malu Baharabayis Ra Nochris Achas Na'a B'Yoseh. Rabbi Gamliel saw a beautiful non-Jewish woman. Amar Marabu Ma'asecha Hashem. That was his response when he saw a beautiful non-Jewish woman. Marabu Ma'asecha Hashem. Vaf Rabbi Kiva Ra Eishas Turnus Rufus HaRasha. Rabbi Kiva saw Eishas Turnus Rufus HaRasha and rock, and he spit, and he did, you know, the whole thing Rabbi Kiva did, because she's gonna, this beauty is going to be in the offer. Well, okay, fine. So I asked the Gemara, "Mistakuli Mishari, how are they allowed to look? Is it a beautiful woman? You allowed to look?" Mishmarta Mikol Debrash, Lo Yistakel Adam Biisha. If you hold though that Riiyah is mutter, only Istaklus is Aser. So what's the Gemara's kasha? They didn't say they were mistakel. It says that they saw. What you have to say is they saw enough to be impressed, you know, by the beauty, which means that that already borders on mistakel. Meaning, if they saw it to the point that they were overwhelmed by the beauty, so then the Gemara's kasha is a kasha. That's what the Achronim suggests. Because the Gemara's answer is, you know, there was a Keren Zavis, it was by accident, you know, you turned the corner and mentioned, oh, it popped up right there, you know, and something like that. Okay. There is a discussion in Poskim whether you should say a bracha on the Queen of England. Now there's no queen anymore. Queen died. But it used to be a discussion in Poskim, right? So the King of England, I guess you could say, whatever, that's a separation of halacha, whether he's powerful enough to say bracha. But let's say on the Queen of England, you see the pomp and circumstance of monarchy. So do you say a bracha? So some of the Poskim say, how do you see the Queen of England? It's also to be Mustakal and Elisha. Others say, no, that could be Roa, the Queen of England. Who's Mustakal at the Queen of England? I mean, Roa, the Queen of England. She was, what, 90 years old? You're Roa, the Queen of England. You're not Mustakal at the Queen of England. So if, that chiluk is important. Now, one last thing. How do we define Makomos HaMechusin in a woman's body? Meaning, since here in Yerdea, we ask you not to look at Makomos HaMechusin, what is Makomos HaMechusin? So our Moshe, in the context of discussing Kalisha in Yerdea, Chiluk Beis HaMinayin Hei, he quotes a piskei tshuva, leaves it in tzarech chiyin, and says meroy lahachmir. Ubedvar seyer isha nida labayla. When it comes to an uncovered hair of one's wife, when she's a nida, hinei vaday odif mimkom samchusim shavu. Da'anashim shein machmirus lasus kikimchis elakvichi yuba shem bebeisuk shlag shemin sheyachrini. He said, most women don't cover their hair in their own home when it's just them and their husbands around. There's a chumrah of kimchis. The Gemara in Yuma says that she was zochet to shiva banim kranim gedolim because she was so machmir that afil koros beisa la ra saros rosha. Says Ramesha, it was obviously unusual in the times of the Tanaim also, because that's why she had seven banim that were kranim gedolim. So this is not something that everybody's just become kimchis. Meaning, he said, I never even heard in previous generations of people aspired to Hanhagas Kimchis. It's a little shvar because the Gemara says, the Gemara's next line, when it talks about she was Zochet to Sheva Banim Kohanim Gedolim, the Gemara says they asked her, you know, how were you Zochet to Sheva Banim Kohanim Gedolim? Which is also interesting that they assumed that she knew. Right? You know, like, I don't know, do people necessarily know why they were Zochet to certain things? But it assumed that she knew. The Gemara has that in a few places. It assumed that people knew. I don't know how they knew. Well, there used to be a comedian, George Burns. He lived till a very old age. And he said that his secret to living a long life was he smoked a cigar every single day of his life. So he's an idiot. I mean, what does that mean? It's obviously something why he lived long. People don't necessarily know. Okay, but in the Gemara, they assumed that people understood that they knew. So she said, because even the walls of my house never saw my hair uncovered. So the Gemara's next line is, lots of people do that. And they didn't have Shiva Banim Kohanim Gedolim. So Ramesha, you know, sort of leaves out that last line and says, no one ever did this. You know, this is something that was unique to Kimchis. But he says, since nobody does that, and people, women uncover their hair in their house with their husband, so he's rugged to see that. And if he's rugged to see her uncovered hair, then there's no problem with him being mistakel, bimei nidusa, to her at her uncovered hair. Someone just told me last night in shul that when he took chassam classes in Lakewood, they don't teach the school of Ramesha, right? And, you know, someone told me in Lakewood they say no, she has to cover her hair when she's in Nida. You're not allowed to look at her uncovered hair when she's in Nida. She sleeps with head covering, you know, the whole thing, the whole robe and head covering to make sure that right, that's standard chassam class in Lakewood. So a guy told me last night that he took a chassam class in Lakewood, and sometimes Chevra from some of the other shuls come to my shul for Shalosh Shabbos. So the guy was telling me afterwards, he took chassam class in Lakewood, and he said that the guy told him that people will tell you Rav Moshe says that it's mutter, but it's sheker v'chazer. Rav Moshe never said it. So he said he looked it up afterwards, you know, what's the sheker v'chazer? And Rav Moshe, like, he really couldn't be more clear. Like, he said, you know, it's not much about this issue. So he said he went back to his chassam. The next day he said, look, you want to tell me we're going to be machmir about something? Tell me that we're not knowing that way. We're not knowing like we're going to be machmir. But if you lie to me, there's just not going to be any trust. You know, it's not going to work if you're going to lie to me. So lying is not such a good idea. Rav Vosner assumes that hair is part of the body that's normally covered, right? And that's in Bnei Brak the machmir in segments of Yerushalayim the machmir in this issue. But the Shulchan disagrees with Rav Moshe and proves it from Akeva, which is something she would not wear in the house. He has a riot from my Katan Chavdal. It says an ilus a sandal is not available to faresia because people often wouldn't wear shoes in the house anyway, and they would cover their feet in the shuk. So he proves that from Shabbos Kuf Chavtes that says the olam yim karadim kuros beso v'yikach minalim l'raglav, because it's a bizui to go. You should sooner sell your home in order that you should be able to have shoes. Because in l'cha bizui min amahalich yachaf b'shuk, it's a bizayon to go barefoot in the shuk. So you see that the heel is something that is covered in the market and is not covered at home, and the Gemara still says, you know, let him talk about keva. A little bit of a shver raya, because the Gemara says akeva doesn't mean akeva, it's a euphemism. It means makom haturfa, so, or other makomos hamachusim. Just, I'm sorry we're going a little late, but two practical ramifications. I just want to stop at a good point. Practical ramification number one is she shouldn't expose parts of her body that will provide an unnecessary nisayon to her husband. So classically, Kala teachers will teach this, that that when she changes clothing, she should cover herself a little bit more. When she nurses the baby, she should cover herself a little bit more. My wife tells me, she tells Kalas that when they change their clothing, they should do it like they did in the dorm in front of their roommates. I don't know what that means. I don't know, but I guess the Kalas understand what that means. There is a believe it or not, Ben Ishchai, you know, those believe it or not Mar Makamos, in Parshas Bo, who suggests that while a woman is nursing, it's very natural to expose that part of her body, so it's not a problem to say Shema in front of it. And one might try to extend that to Ishto Nida and Istaklus, but you know, the whole thing is pretty bad, right? That you want to say Shema in front of a nursing woman who's totally exposed. Very, very big chiddush. There is a machlokas where the husband can be in the delivery room. So Rav Maisha, right, when a woman's giving birth, so Rav Maisha writes in Yardecha, Besim and Ayin, hey, ubimabal yachol liyos shama lashkiach shetasa adover b'seder anachon. It's funny what he assumes a husband can do. That he's going to make sure the doctor's doing their job correctly. The husband's going to try to do his best not to pass out, right? So that's usually this is his great contribution in the delivery room. The gam lechazik also la'amitz liba, and to give her chizik and to not get in trouble with her for not being there. Hine im yesh tzorech eni roa iser va'af belot tzorech eni roa iser. Right, Moshe's turn of phrase, right? That if there's a tzorach to be there, I don't see an iser. And if there's no need to be there, I don't see an iser. But avalaslo l'stakel b'tzias avad mamsh, he shouldn't play catcher. Sharei aslo l'stakel b'mkomes amchusim shva, because he can't be mistakel. Adam comes amchusim shva b'nidaso. But makom haturfa asra afil b'taora. And makom haturfa we paskin like Yeridaya, that he's not even allowed to look when she's taora. Ach k'shizor shlo l'stakel like iser. But if he's there, he's standing next to her head, he's not looking. Parts of everybody that normally come, there's no aser. Unless they set up a mirror on the other side of the room so you can see the baby coming out, that's a bad idea, says Rambam. They should not do that. Minchas Yitzchak writes in Chelechese Melamedos Beis, Bebeis Cholim Shari Tzedekan, Kasher Shalu Osi Alze, Amarti Les Arzulos Amyesh Chash Sakonim Abalo Yesham, Kiadati Miatiru Yavol Machsholim. Says Shari Tzedek policy, we don't allow husbands in the delivery room, because it's going to lead some sort of michshal, unless it's going to be some sort of sakana not to have the husband in the delivery room. So it depends on your community, depends where you are. I think in America, for the most part, the husband does attend the delivery. Okay, but from tomorrow, we'll start doing sif ches and tests, and they need to speak kishuf and things like that. Okay. Oh, mincha, let's start mincha.
Do we have any few minutes?
No.